You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
And so we welcome you yet again to another conversation here on the glorious morning where we talk money. Yeah, money matters. It will be reckless and remiss of us that we equip you with everything else, but not how to handle money. So enter Sense with Sense, where we help you make those sense, make some sense. The money scripts of your youth is what we wanted to converse about as we can discuss this morning. It's our finance segment, and I'm not too sure if you've ever wondered why you instantly feel anxious when looking at your bank statement, or why no matter how much money you make, it never quite feels like it's enough. I don't know why. we like to think our financial decisions are based on cold, hard math. If I had so much, then that would be enough for that. But the truth is, your wallet is being run by a script written when you were just 7 years old. Whether your parents fought over the electricity bill or treated money like a taboo topic, those childhood moments formed your unconscious financial blueprint. So as we converse today, we are looking past the spreadsheets and go straight into our minds, right? We are looking into the psychology of money to help us identify, understand, and rewrite the hidden rules dictating our financial lives beyond what the balance on the budget is saying. So join us as we converse together. We are having our guest, Vangile Makwakwa, author, speaker, and we are hoping that we will be able to assist you to come to terms with what you understand about money. She joins us now on the line. Good morning, Sis V, and welcome again to the Glorious Morning Show.
Oh, thank you for having me, Derek.
Only a pleasure. Trusting that you are doing okay and you've been well since we last chatted.
Yes, I've been very well since the last chat, developing my body of work deeply.
Marvelous, marvelous. We always appreciate you when you come through. You always come through and really, really make a difference in our financial lives, and we truly appreciate you. Talking about money scripts today, that's our focus. And we want to start at the foundation, right? What exactly is a money script? Is it something that you, sometimes when we go on air, we write a script to say, okay, the show is going to look something like this. Is that what we're talking about? How does a concept born in our childhood subconscious dictate the balance of our checking accounts in the future?
Well, a money script is a script. Is what you learned about money.
Okay.
So it can be anything, really. It can be from observing your parents. So most people often think it's something that was told to you.
Okay.
But actually, a money script doesn't have to exactly be told to you. As a child, your nervous system is observing your parents' nervous systems, right? It's feeling into their nervous systems, how they feel about money without them saying a word or even taking action. And it's registering that. That's the really cool thing about being human, or even in the animal kingdom. Just, I guess, the really cool thing about being alive, because apparently plants also communicate with each other in this way. But basically that we all living beings can feel each other's systems and networks, so to speak, our internal networks. So we do that as humans. So every time maybe you see there's a product advertised, you go shopping, your mom may be smiling, no, sweetie, but then her nervous system is doing something. You are sensing that. And then your nervous system stores that data and your subconscious mind creates a story around that. So it isn't always what you hear and even what you see. But then you observe how your parents behave with money, you know, without them doing anything. You see your mom check the prices for different toothpaste, put them back. You see her biting her lip, going to her notes as she's shopping, and you're registering, okay, I need to choose the cheapest item on the list, all of that. She hasn't said anything to you. She may even be saying, study hard so that you can spend your money any which way. You are observing what's happening, and actually, and then you're also taking in what you're saying. So now you're getting conflicting data, right? And remember, you're still fencing, and also what your parents and your family says around money. All of that is being taken in by you as a child. And that makes a huge difference. And then it forms our money scripts. And so for most of us, we've heard conflicting scripts. And this is why we've experienced something at a nervous system level, but our parents told us something else around education and money and the ability to afford. So if there's a lot of conflict also around what you've heard, what you've seen, what you felt, there's no real resolution. And so when you do handle money, it's in a very conflicting manner.
You know, and I like how you're saying it's not just what we are told or what we are, you know, cognitively inputting into our minds, but subconsciously it's been written, and then this is where we then operate from going forward as we grow. And I think that's such a scary thought. Maybe talk to us about why traditional financial advice fails then when it ignores a person's emotional history like the way you've laid it out.
So what traditional financial advice does is it works with just logic. It assumes that all human beings make decisions from logic. And it's funny, being an economics graduate, literally what people don't realize is that a lot of these things that we discuss in terms of economics and finance, when you answer in exam papers, you literally say, assume in a perfect world. And we don't live in a perfect world. Assume in a perfect world, assume all humans are rational. And then you answer the question in economics. You know, so that's how we're taught at varsity. So already that should be a clue that there is no in a perfect world. There is no such thing as the perfect world. And there is no such thing. You're not assuming that things are happening in a perfect world. We're not living in a perfect world, and we're not rational. So unfortunately, a lot of our economics advice, a lot of our financial advice is based on the assumption that we live in a perfect world and all human beings are rational. All human beings being rational, it does make sense that you would teach budgeting as income less expenses. And rationality assumes that human beings make decisions from pure logic. But the truth is, human beings are very irrational. So then this is why they've also developed this new stream of economics called behavioral economics, which then looks at how human emotions start to impact the economic theories. But they haven't been able to, they're looking at it, they haven't been able to provide solutions to said human emotions. And the truth is, the bulk of the time, I would say 95% of the time, human beings are making decisions based on emotions, even if those decisions going to harm them. We see it all the time with when we're voting for political candidates. We see it all the time when we're left with one rand and we can choose between food and a great sale on shoes or whatever, and we're like, that I'm gonna go for the shoes. We don't make rational decisions. So this is why budget taught the way it is. And personally, I truly believe, with all the research that is showing up, a lot of financial institutions benefit from our irrationality. So if we are taught how to manage our emotions, and we are taught emotional intelligence with finances, and we are taught how to feel our emotions, how to work with them when it comes to money, I think that there's the belief that financial institutions would not benefit from us, because remember, a lot of financial institutions benefit because we make irrational decisions, that we can take out a credit card and not pay it back every single month and choose to buy clothes over food and go on yo-yo spending, just like we do yo-yo dieting, it doesn't help us. You know, it's kind of like when I was reading about GLP-1s, how they stop a lot of people from food noise, which I had never really heard of, but this idea of constantly thinking about food, as people have explained to me. And now food companies are like, oh, we're losing food. Restaurants are like, oh my God, there's not enough people coming through. We need to develop something that will override this medication. Why? Because if something stops us from being compulsive, somebody is not benefiting on the other side. Yeah. And there's a lot of money to be made from making humans believe that they are failing and they have an inability to learn how to manage money. Jeez. Then money remains this constant, complex subject, because then we're too intimidated to have conversations to ask, hey, what does this interest rate mean? I take on a mortgage of 20 years versus 30 years, how much less interest am I paying? How much more? What does this look like? Yeah. How much interest is this every month? Then you have people who ask questions, who become curious because they're not anxious and scared to learn about money. And suddenly you can't make people believe that money is this taboo topic. It's a topic that they should just avoid at all costs. And somebody is going to be losing.
Yeah, and maybe let's underscore that point you're raising, this idea of money being a taboo topic. In your practice, what have you found to be the damage that comes from households which have that mentality, money is taboo, don't talk about it. In fact, we even abuse that text and misquote it. Money is the root of all evil. It's just a necessary evil because the world functions on it. Otherwise, it's something that we shouldn't engage in. Talk to us about what you've discovered.
Okay, so mostly households that see money as taboo, to be honest, I tend to believe that the people that see money as taboo and households that see money as taboo and evil are people that are struggling with money most times.
Okay.
Because, and what it is that makes money taboo, their biggest thing is that they cannot hold the emotions that money brings up, right? So the truth, and this is why I've been saying that my work has been deepening and evolving because when I started years ago, I started off teaching emotional intelligence, which is this idea of awareness. Then I spent years teaching about emotional regulation and nervous system regulation. Now I'm understanding that it's not just about the regulation. It's also about our capacity to hold these emotions. And yes, you can move through emotions, but the truth is that as you make more money, money can bring up bigger and bigger emotions. And what often happens is that most people are overwhelmed by these emotions. Like they go beyond the set point of how much they can hold. So what you want to do is want to increase your capacity to hold those emotions. And in households and unfortunately for a lot of us, we come from households where you weren't allowed to feel your emotions. So our parents couldn't hold their own emotions, the discomfort in their own emotions. As a result, they couldn't also hold our emotions, right? Yeah. So now you bring an extra subject to the dinner table that will be that will bring up a bomb, you know, that will set fireworks off, you know. And now they subconsciously know that, wait a minute, if I bring this topic to the table, it's going to be so dysregulating. And I don't know how to hold all these emotions, how to talk about money and not having money and still remain regulated and still be calm, still be scared, but also talk about it calmly and still find a creative solution to move through this, because yes, money has run out mid-month, but we still have the rest of the month. So maybe we can be creative on how to make more money. Yeah. So what would often happen is when money runs out, what we learned was that that's the end. You mm-hmm. wait mm-hmm. until the next payday. The nervous system never learned that, like, money runs out and we can still be creative as to how to make more money.
Yep.
So we learned that money runs out and that is the end for money. And you couldn't shrink yourself enough.
Yeah.
And so you have to somehow find ways to shrink. And if you bring up this concept of money, it's going to lead to frustration because, well, I don't know what to do. My nervous system is now completely shutting down. So it really was about our inability to hold the complexity of these emotions that money brings up. And so it becomes a taboo topic, and it's reinforced by the emotions that we are feeling, that obviously I'm feeling so terrible. This thing must be taboo.
And I don't know, does this, because you find that, you know, people sometimes then this they use to motivate them to earn or to make money and maybe amass wealth. But it seems like this sentiment, this anxiety you're referring to doesn't dissipate, does it? Because you find people who are high earners and have got wealthy bank accounts and so forth, but yet they've got fear of, in the beginning it was fear of money dissipating, therefore try as much as you can to just use it meagerly to try and cover this and that. When you're wealthy, does that go away? Just, you know, now I can and I don't mind splurging a bit even though I'm not being reckless? Or do you find them becoming misers?
No, it doesn't go away unless you've done the work.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Literally, the more money you make, the more your nervous system is being tasked with holding
off.
Right? The more your capacity is being tried, so to speak. So if you haven't done the work to increase your capacity, so there are ways to increase capacity, right? You can increase it over time, so you can make more, hold for a year or two, make more, get used to that, to that point of this is how much I earn, make more, get used to that, that's how much I earn, and then slowly. But life doesn't always work that way. Some people are like, well, I go from varsity, I've studied this thing, I start very low, I do all the career classes, and then, oh, shoot, I can up level and hold more. And some people cannot hold even 2,000 rand more within their nervous system. And what happens is that they start to spiral, because then the nervous system is at capacity. And when your nervous system is at capacity, your allostatic load increases, which means the stress, the wear and tear on the body and the nervous system increases. The body registers that as stress. And so you will find that maybe some people make more and then they fall sick, or they make more and they get rid of that money as fast as possible. You know, suddenly they get new behaviors. You'll hear families say, but this child was such a great child. And then they started making more. And suddenly, hey, boy, the friends.
Yeah.
Suddenly now there's gold.
Yeah.
Suddenly now there's this. What is happening? What is happening is that their subconscious mind is trying to work with the nervous system to get back to a set point where they can hold the money. But now they are like freaking out and they are in self-destruction, you know? And then the opposite also happens, right? That you make more and then all your fears of never having enough money come to the surface.
Right.
And the irony is that the more you make, the less abundant you feel and the less willing you are to part with money. So you actually become a miser and you can use money as a point of control. You start to believe that everyone is making decisions from a point of view of money and finances. So it's very interesting. More money really doesn't solve your problems. Sometimes money exacerbates our financial problems. More money exacerbates our financial problems.
And I think that's such a sad reality that like you are really reiterating over and over again, without the work, you will never escape the cycle. And I want us to close, as we're actually out of time, but I want us to wrap up with this, because it will not be okay for us. It would really be terrible for us to leave without giving someone something to help them. How can we be helped from your perspective as the expert? How can we get assistance to rewrite the money script that we can actually escape this vicious cycle that we can always be finding ourselves utilizing this blueprint from yesteryear?
Okay, so one of the things is to start with awareness, as I said. Mm-hmm. Awareness is the first key, this idea of practicing emotional intelligence with our finances. Okay. Okay. And because I am still really developing a body of work that will help us around increasing capacity, I think that the work that I do does also increase nervous system capacity. But, you know, I'm one of those people that loves to develop a whole different body of work. I think awareness is key, and then just getting to helping our nervous systems regulate. That will help us develop capacity over time. It may take longer, but it's really, really worthwhile. So one of the things that I would say is look at your bank account every single day for 5 minutes a day, then observe your breath for 5 minutes a day. What that is doing is reminding your nervous system that, look, I'm feeling all these emotions, but I am safe, I am okay, and I am fine. Mm. So over time, your mind will start to clock that. And then also starting to allow your feeling into the body and allowing yourself to feel your emotions. Really sitting with that for 5 minutes. So the entire exercise takes about 15 minutes. And if you want to go for gold, also start observing what thoughts come up in this 15-minute process. Okay. But I am running something called the 3-day bank account reset, where if you're one of those people that doesn't even want to look at your bank account, you are welcome. We will be doing the first 3 days, just work around that. And I'll be doing EFT tapping. We'll be really looking into our bodies, feeling into our bodies, really working with the resistance around that. And you can join me at wealthy-money.com/reset. We're doing this from June 22nd to June 24th, 2026.
Give us that email address again, please. You said wealthy.
wealthy-money.com /reset. It will take you to a Facebook group. That's where we're doing it. It's completely free. I'm not going to be taking your email address, none of that. Just come through. We'll be doing the work.
Marvelous stuff. Thank you so much. And I think that is exactly what we need. We want to just appreciate you for your generosity and your selflessness, to see that people are rescued from the bondage and the prison they find themselves in.
Thank you, Derek.
thank you for your time, Vangile. We want to really appreciate you this morning. And until we chat again next time, continue being marvelous and being awesome.
You too. Have a lovely day further.
Cheers. Bye-bye. That is our CFP, our Certified Financial Planner, Vangile Makwakwa, author, speaker, you name it, coach. She is here to just make our money make sense to us. And that's what our conversation was around this morning, talking about those money scripts that were written years ago, but somehow we are still operating from, even in our adult spaces.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.